awesome morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, hello, friends.
Good morning. It's Friday.
It is Friday. We have made it through the deluge of the week, if you will.
I am not going to lie. I am exhausted. We caught a screening of Noah last night.
We watched it. It wasn't just us, though. We had Dougie Fresh. He brought his wife.
Yeah, Shannon.
Mitch and Celeste were there.
Yeah. It was good times to be had by all.
It was fun.
Needless to say, throughout the entire day here, we'll be talking, giving our thoughts and opinions on the film. But not this early.
Not this early. It's
this early, we take random phone calls like this.
What a jerk.
That just happened.
Well, people.
That just happened.
People, that's how it's going to be on
this. It's Friday. You can't hang up on me on
Friday. That's how it's going to be in this world.
We're going to have trials and tribulations. People are going to hang up on us, but we persevere.
It's true.
Even on a Friday morning.
Persevere on a Friday morning.
Oh, man. You've got to get to our Instagram.
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to do.
Facebook.
I'm going to Instagram it, and it'll also, I'll put it on Facebook and Twitter, too. It hasn't happened yet, but it will.
All right. Oh, wow. Phone lines are now jammed.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Let's go here. Static.
Good morning, guys. Matthew from Albuquerque.
Huh? Good morning, Matthew. Here's the deal, Matthew.
Matthew.
Did you already call us and hang up on us?
I called, but you guys were starting the show. I heard it on my end of the radio.
Matthew.
Yeah, I heard the show starting, so I thought I'd let you guys, you know, do your introduction.
Thanks for letting
us,
buddy.
Thanks for giving us a moment before you hit us up. All right.
Not a problem.
It is a problem.
Thank you.
I said, yeah, so not, when I mean not problem, I mean, you know, hey, you know, I don't mind. I can wait for you guys.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for being so kind.
You guys are very welcome. And hey, it is the best morning show ever.
So there's that.
Hey.
There's always that.
Hey.
Someday, when we finish our book that we're writing, that's going to be one of the tags on the back. You know how there's like different things from different people?
Yeah.
On the back of our book, it's going to say, the best morning show ever, quote, Matthew from Albuquerque.
It is.
So
that would be an honor, guys. It really would.
And it might say go Hawks, but we don't know.
We have to start. We have to start our book. I said finish, but we really haven't even started a book.
We haven't started it.
Don't even have a topic yet. So if you have a topic for us, Matthew, we're trying to write a children's book.
A children's book?
Yep.
Let's see. I'll have to get some thought into that
Now. Yeah, his ideas, they were good, but it was like, I don't know. I feel like we can hone in. We keep trying to come up with ideas, but I don't know.
Well, let me tell you guys what always helps me. When I'm in class and have to do an essay or something, when it comes to ideas, I usually try to write down the ideas, like what I have, like just like a brief description or just a brief title. And then I narrow my choices down by eliminating the ones that, you know, don't sound good or, you know, that always helps me a lot when I'm doing it.
It sounds like a neat way to do it.
Well, we are told in Scripture to take every thought captive, and usually people take that as a bad thing, like, oh, we got to stop the bad thoughts. But it also means we got to, like, write down those good thoughts
because you never know.
There might be something, like, inspired from the Lord that you don't know yet, but you write those titles down. Next thing you know, multi-million dollar children's book.
Yep.
Yeah, you just, and then also when you're, you know, trying to come up with ideas, don't be afraid to reach out to your friends for help because, you know, they might be able to give you some advice on, you know, possible thoughts or, you know, something like that.
Matthew, you're a sage.
What if all your friends are dummies like me?
Oh, hey!
Well, hey, listen, nobody out there is dumb. Nobody. Everybody is smart out there. And you know what? Even the smallest idea can help you because, you know, I have in the past have had to do a biology assignment. This was, of course, back in December last year in class. It was making a book, like a children's book on something we were doing in biology, and I had to, you know, come up with a concept for it, and I'm like, well, I don't know. I've never done a children's book before. So, you know, I'm like, let me ask one of my friends in class. So, of course, I asked one of my friends, and he's like, you know, you could do the train station. You could do this. You could do that. And I'm like, Those sound like good ideas.
Yeah. Train stations.
Yes. And also, guys, I do have an important announcement this morning.
What?
Club. Oh, it's stop. A, it's a club cancellation.
All right. Hang on. Hang on.
Club cancellation.
If
okay.
If it's a cancellation, that this is something different. Like, this is altogether different.
I don't know. Prepared. Oh,
yes.
Where to go? Okay. We're going to have to place you on hold while we try and dig up the special Friday announcement music, okay?
So we're going to
put you on
ahead.
Hold. Okay, hold on just a second,
on the line.
Okay?
Noah, I just killed a man trying to get on the ark. It's made of wooden bark. Noah, it's the Nephilim. They're helping build the ark that you need. Noah, why did you make him cry? All he wanted was a girlfriend.
Hey, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. All right. Sorry, man. We had to try and find that music.
It's all right.
All right. And 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, guys. This information is for Volcano Vista High, Mohawk. First off, this morning, Best Buddies Club that would meet today. And remember, E102 has been canceled for today. Sorry, guys. We will meet again next week in room number E102 on Friday. Also in the news, the Converge Club at Volcano Vista High will soon have a website, which will be up and running hopefully in the next month. So, pretty soon we'll be able to have that.
Yeah!
The last thing in the news is that the Volcano Vista High cheer team has a cheer team event tonight for a championship, is what I was told, at the pit.
Ooh.
It's today and tomorrow. The one tomorrow is at 3:15 at the pit.
At the pit?
Yes, if you want any further information, please go to volcanovistahawks.aps.edu or go to or call them basically at 505-890-0343. Dial 37,000 for the operator.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Remember, as always, it is great to be a Hawk.
Yeah.
Go Hawks.
Go
it's
Hawks.
It's also Ace of Blackout Day, Steve-O. Have you heard of a Blackout Day?
Wait, it's Ace of Base Blackout Day?
Now, a Blackout...
I saw the sign, and it opened up my eyes.
Now, let me tell you guys, a Blackout Day Volcano Vista is basically it's a school spirit day where you wear your Volcano Vista High t-shirts, and you know, it's for school spirit.
Matthew, did you just do breaking news before breaking news?
Matthew.
It's like you did like three news clips.
I get to do one exciting thing every day, and you have taken it from me.
Yeah, this Blackout Day has nothing to do with the actual, you know, there's a base or anything. It deals just Volcano, so.
Just at Volcano Vista.
Wait a second. Are
this
you
isn't
telling
an
me
80s reunion Ace of Base Club.
Is the volcano going to erupt?
No.
Okay,
it's a blackout.
You said blackout, not volcanoes. And
yeah.
You know, I've seen too many movies to know that doesn't end well.
Yep.
Hey, guys, can I get a song request this morning?
Absolutely.
Yes, this morning, play something by Amberlin and put it out to the Volcano Vista High cheerleaders.
Yeah.
I wish them the best of luck at their competitions today and tomorrow. Good luck, girls. Hope you do well.
Heck
perfect.
Yeah.
We've got the perfect one for high school cheerleaders.
Yep.
So thanks, Matthew.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you Monday.
All right, we'll talk
bye,
to you
buddy.
Monday. Matthew from Albuquerque, and this one going out to the Volcano Vista cheerleaders. The song is Impossible, and it's for you, girls.
Do a good
it's
job.
It's going to be a magical day.
Don't screw this up for everybody. Do a good job.
Oh, man, we're here to help wake you up on your Friday. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Doug!
Static!
Good morning.
Good morning to you there.
Okay, up and at 'em.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Stay away from them.
Static Radio.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Happy Friday. It's time for the news with me, Mateo. To my left, Steve-O.
Sup?
To my right, in the room, Dougie. Hey, Doug. And now it's time for the news. A new study suggests that French will be the world's most spoken language by 2050.
Oui, oui.
No, I'm good.
Parlez-vous français?
I haven't drank that much coffee yet. But probably.
That's my first language.
Parlez-vous français?
Yeah. I don't know French.
Scientists have found an asteroid with rings. What? Kanye bought it rings.
Well, he liked it. He should have put a ring on it.
Boom. Vladimir Putin wants Russians to get in shape. When the bank mistakenly gave a Georgia teenager an extra $31,000, he immediately went on a spending spree. That's what any Georgia teen would
well,
do.
Well, yeah.
California is stuck in a drought. But the disappearing water in streams is causing a mini gold rush as modern-day prospectors are finding that gold is now much easier to locate. In other words, it now pays to own certain parts of California. For more information, we're going to go to our friend Jebediah the Prospector. Jeb?
Hey, everybody. I've been mining that gold this morning.
Did you find any?
Yeah, it's been really tough since, about 1952.
Oh, yeah.
I've been looking for the gold.
Well, what's changed recently?
Well, it looks like the gold's all washed up because of them Kardashians.
Okay.
They're wearing it all over the place. They got them pinky toe rings, and they got them necklaces and them gold chains, and not to mention that swan made of gold.
Yeah. That's pretty fancy.
Yeah, well, I gotta go prospect me some more copper.
All right, I hope you have a good day.
Yeah, it's been really good with the copper because there's a lot of buildings with copper lining and stuff, and I just steal it.
Wait, why are you stealing copper lining?
Yeah, I gotta go. Gotta see you later.
Sorry, everyone. I think Jebediah the Prospector was a drug addict.
What was that?
That was a prospector.
Gosh, what a jerk. He just, like, ran me over in the hallway.
Did any crystals fall out of his bag?
No, but he had, like, 8 feet of something that he was carrying
like
behind him.
He's addicted to crystal meth.
Oh, Jebediah.
Jebediah the Prospector.
What a jerk.
Jebediah. Crystal meth smoking prospector. There's more troubling news about the Secret Service. It's been revealed that earlier this month, two agents who apparently had been drinking, got into a car accident. Because we learned yesterday they were goofing off in a hotel and got kicked out. Come on, Secret Service, you're supposed to be a secret.
Secret Service man!
A disturbed woman fired shots outside of a TV news station in Houston. Speaking of Houston, our boy Paul from Houston sent us the most fantastic gift you'll ever see.
In your entire life.
If you'll go to our Instagram, our Twitter, or our Facebook,
ooh,
you'll see. But specifically, go to, well, I guess you could go to any of them. Probably not so much Twitter, but Instagram and Facebook. Go to it. If you can guess all four bands that are featured on those coasters, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And call us and tell us. We'll give you a prize.
Yeah, you got to call. You get to our Facebook or our Instagram. You have to call us up to win. So,
yep.
There you go.
You have to call to win. And you have to get the answers right. Which one, we're not sure who it is. So, who knows? You could get that right. Apparently, that story about North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un ordering all men to get his haircut was a fake rumor.
Oh, lame.
I bet it wasn't fake. I bet it was real. And then everybody made fun of him. And he got a call from Dennis Rodman going, hey. Kim, hey.
What you doing, dog?
Hey, man.
You can't do that.
You been telling everybody to get your hair cut? No, man. That's stupid. Hey, tell me again how you ain't a hobbit. Tell me again.
Gosh.
Yeah. Okay, bye. That's what it is. In the wake of news of her separation, Gwyneth Paltrow is trying to go on with her life.
Oh, man.
That sweet woman. That's just a sad situation.
That is a sad situation.
You have those celebrity couples, and I know it's so stupid, you know, who cares? But you have the ones that you're like, yeah.
They're going to make it.
I hope they make it.
Yeah.
And Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow happen to be one of those for me.
I'm still holding out hope for Bennifer to, That's Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, right?
No.
Are they still together?
That was something else.
What?
I'm still holding out hope. Jennifer Garner.
No, but I thought J-Lo and Ben Affleck were together. Ben Affleck's with Jennifer Garner now?
Yeah.
What happened to him and J-Lo?
Daredevil.
What? Okay, right.
You got it.
Yeah.
Astronomers report finding 7.5 billion miles from the sun.
Yeah.
A world that's frozen and pink. That's right. The girliest world you can imagine.
Like Gigli. Wait, why am I stuck on Jennifer Lopez? And
what happened?
I don't know, J-Lo. Man. I was really hoping that one would last.
You need to get modern. Start liking J-Law like me. J-Lo. J-Law.
Jude Law.
Jude Law. Oh,
Jude Law.
That's super
and
modern.
And J-Law.
That's progressive.
Could get together and their celebrity couple name would be
Law. Law and Order.
But they're both law.
I know.
Law.
But together they would be orderly.
La La Land.
La La Land. What would their kids'
They're
name be?
They're off in La La Land.
Laws. Different kinds
if
of
If they
laws.
Got married, her name would be J-Law.
Oh.
She wouldn't have, it wouldn't be a
I
nickname.
I know, she
It'd
wouldn't have to
real.
Change her name. Gosh. Oh my gosh.
This is, works out perfectly. I'm going to
have my
Jennifer
Lawrence
publicist
Law.
Call. Oh.
Bob Loblaws Loblog. Doug, Arrested Development?
Yes, I saw that episode.
Oh.
You and your fancy little show.
A hospital in Pennsylvania will soon begin clinical trials to put gunshot or other accident victims into a state of suspended animation while their organs are repaired.
Mm.
By all measures, the people suspended will be dead for hours, but with luck, many will be brought back to life. Thus begins space travel. The first step is to flush cold saline through the heart and up to the brain, the area is most vulnerable to low oxygen. To do this, the lower region of the heart must be clamped and a catheter placed in the aorta to carry the saline. Clamp is later removed so the saline can be artificially pumped around the whole body. It takes about 15 minutes for the patient's temperature to drop about 10 degrees Celsius. At this point, they'll have no blood in their body, no breathing, no brain activity. They will be clinically dead.
Gosh.
You're going to get dead at the hospital. Hey, listen. You're going to go up in the hospital and you're going to get your organ replaced. And they're going to say, hey, you're going to be dead. You're going to be dead for 2 hours. And you're going to be in there. And then after that, they're going to wake you up. Trick is, you're going to wake up. You've been sleeping for 67 years. And you somewhere in space traveling to some pink frozen planet that they have nicknamed Cupcake World. And they want you to start over.
What just happened?
It's going to be crazy, man.
In this state, absolutely. Or almost no metabolic reactions happen in the body, so cells can survive without oxygen. Interesting. The patient will be disconnected from all machinery, taken to an operating room where surgeons have up to 2 hours to fix the injury. Saline is then replaced with blood. If the heart does not restart itself, the patient is resuscitated. The new blood will heat the body slowly, and thus we have suspended animation. The thing of science fiction is now a reality.
Boom.
What's next? Hoverboards. No.
Yes!
No, because every scientist is a jerk. And if they really wanted to make everybody happy, they would invent flying cars and hoverboards! God!
But wouldn't they have to put magnets all over everywhere on the ground? Because isn't that how it works?
The Earth is magnetic. It has a magnetic field. Figure it out, scientists!
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got you.
In November 1998, Bill Clinton used a Toshiba Satellite Pro laptop computer to send the first official email from a sitting president of the United States.
Wow.
And now you can buy it. The inaugural email correspondence between Clinton and astronaut John Glenn is included with the computer. Do you think it said ASL? And John Glenn was like, what? And he said, ASL, man. Age, sex, location.
Oh.
And John Glenn was like, what? And he said, you know, one small step, all that garbage, but where are you from? He's like, who am I? What? Doug gets it. Both of these emails are preserved on the laptop's hard drive and backed up on the included floppy disk.
Wow.
And remain accessible via the AOL application on the computer. The current bid is set at $11,000. So not only back in the day when you had like a computer this old, not only did you get AOL crap in the mail every day,
mm-hmm.
if you buy an old computer, you still get AOL crap.
Yep.
It comes with it. That's stupid. Mothers might not feel like they have any extra seconds in the day to exercise, but a new study finds that being a more active mom will make their young children more active, too.
I don't know if I need that.
A study from the University of Cambridge published in the journal Pediatrics tracked 554 mothers and their 4-year-olds using accelerometers.
Wow.
It's a hard word this early in the morning. Mm. The data showed that when mothers boosted their physical activity, children's moderate to vigorous activity increased 10%. The study is not perfect, however. It's not clear whether active moms inspired the children to be more active or if already active children were making their mothers run around them because they couldn't catch them.
Man.
So the more hyper your kid is, probably the more active the mom's going to be trying to kill that kid. Metaphorically, not real. What do you think?
I think my children are definitely very active. Mm-hmm. In fact, go Diamondbacks.
Go Diamondbacks.
First game of the season tonight.
Oh, snap.
Oh, excited.
Snap. It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
We've all fallen victim to a carefully crafted Twitter hoax recently. Patton Oswalt. Or no. What's his face? George Costanza.
What?
You remember people said he was dead?
No, Newman.
Newman. I had everybody. I had Patton Oswalt in there. They've probably all been victim to a celebrity hoax, honestly.
True.
Like death
true.
Hoax. So we'll try not to come down too hard on the residents of Stafford, England, for letting some guy with a fake Twitter account convince them he was the mayor of the town.
No way.
Especially because he was pretty darn convincing. The man created a profile with the following bio. I'm James Billington, the current mayor of Stafford.
That's it?
Delighted to be representing the town of Stafford and surrounding areas. Views are my own. That's it. He began tweeting on March 8th and soon enough convinced residents and local businesses that he was the mayor. The quote-unquote mayor posted pictures of himself doing very mayor-y things, like performing a ribbon cutting at a new theme park.
No way.
Eventually, the Stafford Borough Council caught wind of the prank and asked Twitter to shut the account down. For the record, the real mayor of Stafford is a woman named Angela Loran. She's held the role, which is largely ceremonial, for 10 months.
But this guy's running in the next election.
Oh, he's got to be. He's like, hey, you already thought I was your mayor. Why not make it real? Let's make this thing honest, right? Let's make it honest. Play the Rocky music.
Oh, man.
8-year-old Caden Tiapolis can easily pinpoint the moment he realized there was injustice in his school cafeteria.
Wow.
He was getting his lunch at his Michigan school when he saw another student get denied a hot lunch because he didn't have any money in his lunch account. Instead, the boy was offered a cheese sandwich. Stupid cheese sandwich. This upset the kid and Caden also. So when he got up, he wanted to know what he could do to help other kids out. Together, they organized a campaign to raise money to help the kids at school pay for lunch.
Yeah!
They call it Pay It Forward. No kid goes hungry. Using donations from relatives and neighbors, they organized a series of games to take place every year where each kid had a representative from his family. They would fight to the death.
Wait,
and that child
no,
would win.
No.
And win food for the rest of the kids in the cafeteria that didn't have to fight.
Wow.
It's called Detroit. Get it right. Just kidding. Using donations from relatives and neighbors, as well as collecting money from recyclables, Caden was able to pay the delinquent lunch fees of the students at his school.
Wow.
And add money to their accounts. Caden and his mom next made way to the crowdfunding site Fund Something, where they set up a page to help other schools. As the story spread, donations piled up. Currently, Caden has raised over $30,000 of his $35,000 goal and has paid for thousands of lunches.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hero. Hero.
How old is he? 8?
Yep.
Gosh.
8-year-old said, I'm not standing for this injustice.
Kudos to the mom.
Kudos to the mom.
Because, you know, she didn't go, oh, honey, that's sweet. No, let's just, you know.
Go watch Captain Planet.
Right. Kudos to the mom. That was awesome.
And for your final little bit of breaking news, a Bitcoin story. Bitcoin fan said on the social media forum Reddit that he'd eat his own hat if the digital currency's value dipped below $1,000. It did, and he made good in a painful 46-minute video. User ANNDDDYYYY devoured his hat. He does so by cutting it into pieces and working them into a sandwich. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the news for Friday, March 28th. Sandwich meat!
It was good news.
1996.
It was good. Of course, with the news being over, we begin anew.
Let us.
with Doug. Doug.
Good morning.
Doug.
Good morning.
Doug, we can't hear you.
Can't hear you, Doug. Where's Doug?
Doug.
Nothing?
No.
No, Doug.
Is he dead?
Doug.
Hello.
Did he get killed in the Ark deluge?
Where's Doug?
Doug.
He's missing.
Doug.
Can't hear you. I'm going to throw something.
Oh, my gosh. I will stall. Let's see. Hi. My name is Matt. I work at Static Radio. They call me Mateo here because that's the cool thing to do. And
Hey.
And right now what we're trying to do is figure out how we're going to do birthdays for the next 6 years. One of my favorite things to do is hang out and go to the mall. I like to go to the mall and go to the ice rink if there's an ice rink available. I like to go to the movies. Last night I went to see Noah. It was neato. We're going to talk about it. I think Sam Swan's outside. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I just received reports that there are aliens landing on the Sandia Mountains. I can say whatever I want because nobody can stop me right now. It's pretty cool. Oh, hey, Steve-O.
Oh, hey, buddy.
I wasn't telling anybody lies or nothing.
Oh, okay, good. Where's Doug?
Where is he?
Are you there?
Interesting. There's a lot of stuff going on that I want to talk about. Wait, Doug, I hear you now. I hear you guys.
You can hear me?
Yeah. Now I can't.
Oh. Wait,
now that, yes, I can.
What?
All right.
We're good to go.
Yeah. Hey.
Doug. Start it over, Doug.
Interns, bro.
Wait.
Gosh.
Yeah, this is it. This is the intro.
Intern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys. Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, man, Noah.
Doug, Doug, I want you to know I don't blame you.
I don't know what just happened.
I blame the goblins that live in this studio.
Yeah, that was fun.
The green goblins.
The bad guys from Noah?
Yes.
I kind of like goblins.
Yeah. Today is March 28, 2014, day 87 of 2014. 278 days remaining. First up this morning from Law & Order,
yeah.
Hannah and her sisters, Footloose, and she played Lucy in Lost Boys.
Oh. Lost Boys. What a good movie.
Yeah.
And creepy.
Oh, come on. I can't remember.
But
her name,
it came out in the 80s, so when you go back and watch it, it's not that creepy.
Diane West.
Diane East. It's a different direction.
She was also in Parenthood.
Oh.
She's got like, hi, hey.
Hi.
Lucy. She was the mom.
Hi.
Okay.
65.
58.
She is 66 years old today.
Oh, Steve. Gosh, I was so close.
You were there. Next up from The White Shadow. He was Max on Crossing Jordan. He was on Melrose Place. And he played Hank Cooper on 30 Rock. Mm. His name is Hank Cooper.
Hank.
Oh.
On 30 Rock. So, Ken Howard. Oh.
Ken Howard. 46.
48.
He is 70 years old today.
Obviously, we don't know who that is.
He's old.
Hey, man, you old.
Yes. Next up this morning,
A-A-R-P.
You may know her from having a lot of kids.
Oh. Octomom.
All at once.
Octomom.
Kate Gosselin.
Ah.
Yeah, she had a bunch of kids, too.
Kate Gosselin. Supposedly, they're going to have some other kind of TV special updating everybody on how they're doing.
Really?
Yep. Mother.
Tell your children not to walk my way.
She is 45.
I think she's 43.
She is 39 years old today.
Dang. Well, that's fine.
It is fine, because next up, from Hot Fuzz,
ooh.
Shaun of the Dead.
Oh,
Simon Pegg? Nick Frost!
Yes!
Nick Frost!
The Adventures of Tintin, The World's End.
Oh, Tintin.
Nick Frost celebrating a birthday this morning.
Oh, Nick Frost.
He was also in Snow White and the Huntsman. He was one of the dwarves.
How old? What do you think? I say 38.
39.
He is 41 years old this morning. Mr. Nick Frost. Next up. One third of the group.
Salt.
Yes.
Wow.
It is Salt's birthday.
Whoa.
Cheryl James.
Salt, Peppa or Spinderella, yo?
Is Spinderella the DJ?
Yes, she
That's
is.
Not a spice name.
What?
Why Spinderella. Couldn't her name be like, I don't know, like Nutmeg or something? Nobody?
Here I go, here I go, here I go again. I'm not going to
say
that. Salt.
How old is Salt? She is literally older than dirt.
Salt's pretty old.
It's a preservative.
Salt is old. Yeah.
Salt can help like your food stay fresher longer.
But if salt loses its flavor, there's nothing more to do than just like throw it out and trample it.
Throw
on
it
the
out.
Throw it over your left shoulder.
Yeah.
Woo.
Salt is 47.
Salt is 44.
She is 48 years old today.
Oh, man, you're right there.
Next up from the Bourne Identity series, Save the Last Dance. 10 Things I Hate About
Julia
You.
Julia Stiles.
Dexter, Silver Linings Playbook, and The Omen. Julia Stiles.
I know way too much.
Julia Stiles.
I am a walking IMDb.
Oh, you want me.
Julia Stiles is 35.
Oh, my gosh. I loved that movie, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Never saw it.
It was awesome.
I've never seen it.
Heath Ledger.
Isn't it Taming of the Shrew, basically?
Probably. Is that a Shakespearean?
Yes!
Yeah, yeah, it's based on that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or at least one of them. It might not be that specific one. Julia Stiles is 33. Doug?
I got it! Yeah!
Yes!
Did you hear that celebration sound? He's got sound clips to celebrate.
I don't like that. Yeah, Taming of the Shrew. Taming of the Shrew.
Yes.
My man here knows Shakespeare.
I do know Shakespeare, yo.
Next up. She's had her own show before. She is a country music star.
Roseanne.
No.
Reba.
Yes.
Reba McEntire.
I met her when I was 5 years old and fell in love.
Is this Fancy?
Yes.
Yeah! Oh, yeah. This is the story of my life.
Met her when I was 5. Not even joking. She was my first crush when I was a little 5-year-old.
She wrote this song about me. Growing up in Mississippi.
Stop it.
Giving my life over to the world of prostitution.
Man, if I was 5 years old and she was already... Okay.
Well, you sing Reba. We know how old she is.
I'm going to say 55.
Oh. Did she say a half-grown beard had stood? Let me down. Here's your one chance, fans, and don't let me down.
How old is she?
She is 48 years old.
She is 58 years old today.
Oh, whoa.
I was trying to tell you, man.
I was fancy.
I have been so close this morning.
Fancy is timeless.
I am on it. You need to go along with me.
I got one right. How have you done?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Next up.
Touche. Is this Lady Gaga?
Yes, it is her birthday today.
It's her birthday?
It is.
The
she actually has a birthday.
Yeah. Incredible.
So she was actually birthed by real
humans. I don't believe it.
Huh. Is that proven or is it like one of those somebody found a ship when, you know, and a baby was inside?
That's what I think it was. I thought she was an alien.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, her birthday today.
35.
Gaga is 33.
She's 28.
Ugh.
My mouth just hit the floor.
All right, the last birthday this morning.
Boom!
You may know him from such movies as
Fred Claus.
Dodgeball.
Vince Vaughn.
Swingers.
Wedding Crashers. I said a Vince Vaughn quote earlier. Did you hear it? That's funny.
That is funny.
Let's make it honest.
Janice, I apologize if I don't seem real eager to jump into a forced, awkward, intimate situation that people like to call dating.
Yeah.
I like the feeling. You're sitting there, you're wondering, do I have food on my face? Am I eating? Am I talking too much? Are they talking enough? Am I interested? I'm not really interested. Should I play like I'm interested, but I'm not that interested, but I think she might be interested, but do I want to be interested, but now she's not interested?
Yeah. All right, I got to cut it off there. Vince Vaughn celebrated his birthday.
Vince Vaughn. He was also in The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Ah!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
44.
Vince Vaughn, today, is 47 years old.
Steve-O?
Yeah.
Put it on the board! You can put it on the board!
Put it on the board! 1-1! one.
If that's Sam, then who was that creepy guy hanging out there earlier? Okay, let's continue. Go, Doug. Wait, we have one more birthday.
Yes, we do.
It is Phoebe's birthday.
What?
Oh, Phoebe's birthday. It's been reported that he is turning the big 4-0
on the 29th. That's tomorrow.
Which is tomorrow. And we won't be here.
No, we won't.
I'll have to dedicate the whole Saturday morning show to Phoebe.
Phoebe's is turning 40?
Aw, man. This comes courtesy of another friend.
That's crazy, man. He doesn't look any older than like 37.
We don't know. Maybe it isn't 40. Maybe it's only 37.
We love you, Thieves.
Yep.
You're not a day over 29 in my heart. The silver birthday. 29
you guys,
on the 29th.
If you love Thieves, send him bacon.
Yeah, send him bacon.
Send him bacon in the mail.
That's how Thieves does. And he always has a fantastic mustache.
Oh.
He's our Magnum P.I.
He's our Ron Swanson.
Yeah, he really is. We love you, Thebes.
Thanks, boy.
All right.
On to dates. On this day in what year, Will Chamberlain retired from pro basketball. He played 1,045 games over 14 years.
Whoa.
Hit it, Doug!
73.
Oh, man!
1973.
Come on!
On this day in what year in Pennsylvania, a pump in the reactor cooling system failed in the Three Mile Island accident, resulting in the evaporation of some contaminated water, causing a nuclear meltdown.
Whoa! In Pennsylvania?
Yep.
I don't remember this.
That's cray.
That's cray.
That's cray.
That's cray.
Okay.
1978.
1981.
1979. Oh, man! On this day in what year, Fred Gipp was sentenced to 28 years in prison for fraud and bigamy.
Whoa.
In 30 years, he allegedly had married 104 women in 28 countries.
Whoa!
That's what you call Genghis Khan in it.
What?
Yeah.
Ooh.
1983. On this day in what year?
That was the year I was born.
In the middle of the night, Robert Irsay moved the Baltimore Colts football team to Indianapolis.
That dude. Yeah.
Is this JoJo?
Yeah.
Yes! Yes! JoJo!
Gosh, I am so thrown off right now. In the middle of the night, Jim Irsay moved them. I don't remember. 1986.
1985. 1984.
Ah!
I had to drag that on a little bit longer. And the last one this morning. On this day in what year, more than 6,000 radio stations of all formats played We Are the World simultaneously at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Time.
Okay, let's think about this because the game we played at Bill Peterson's house.
Yeah.
The
greatest gift of all.
We could go on.
Man,
it was Kenny Rogers.
Okay, I don't remember what year it was. What year did they make it? It was the 80s.
Oh, it was 80s, and it was like mid-80s. I say 86.
I'm going to say 87.
Mateo?
Yes! 1986!
Also, the year my little sister Allison was born.
Oh, there you go.
That is a walk-off shot for Mateo this morning.
That was a nice walk-off.
Walk-off shot. Hey, today is Friday.
Oh, it is.
It's Flashback Friday. And today it's a band. A band that was big through the 80s, but it wasn't until their release in 1991 that they really blew up on the mainstream.
Is it? Oh, no. He's sitting in the back of the studio. He can't breathe right now.
It is.
Metallica!
Metallica. Hey.
Metallica,
it's time for Metallica.
Flashback Friday with Metallica? Can do.
Can do, friend.
Man.
This show's going to be much better than Lars's drumming, I'll tell you that much.
Hey, you know, they're working on new music right now.
Awesome. Is Lars going to be in it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You know, rumor has it, James Hetfield. Seeker.
Seeker?
His mom's a believer.
There you go.
And, yeah, in recent years, dude's changed a lot of things about his life. Got sober, cleaned up, lyrical content, changed quite a bit.
You never know, Steve.
Be incredible. Dave Mustaine, lead singer of Megadeth. He's a believer now.
And the bass player.
Bass player as well for Megadeth.
I met that guy.
Yeah, he's got a website like Mega Life.
Mega Life.
That's true. I'm not making fun.
He's also a PV rep for a while.
There are some of these songs when I was looking at the lyrics that you could kind of look at them and say there might be something deeper to them.
Yeah. Dave Ellefson. That's who that is.
Yeah, Dave Ellefson. Yep, there you go. All right. We got a great show for you today. It is Friday. Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention of New Mexico will be joining us momentarily. We will be doing a full review of Noah. It is sad but true. Yeah. Play our game. Get to our Facebook page or our Instagram. Check out the photo. Paul from Houston sent us some amazing coasters. And if you can guess all four album covers and call us up at 505-338-3700, we just may hook you up with something. All right. On the way, we got some Waverly.
What?
We also have the bassist from Waverly.
Hey.
We also have Sam Swan and myself because it's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now. Static Radio.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Talica.
It is Flashback Friday, and intern Doug picked one of my favorite bands from childhood.
Yep.
Yeah, I said childhood.
Yeah, I said childhood.
Yeah, I said it. What? I was raised Baptist. Speaking of Baptists, Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention in New Mexico.
What's up?
Just playing some Talica.
Well, that's that's the greatest introduction music I've ever had.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, man.
That could have been, when I was playing baseball, that could have been my walk-up music.
Whatever, that needs to be your walk-up music when you're going to, like, a Disciple Now or something.
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome.
And now. And then right when it goes, jump, Sam. Yeah! With your arms raised, your arms will be raised.
Because every time I get a picture when I'm speaking, my arms are in the air.
Yeah.
Welcome to the platform. This
song's biblical, yo. It's called Injustice for All. So,
there you go.
And we saw some justice last night in the form of Noah.
No!
Oh.
God's justice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went?
We went.
Who all went?
Steve-O and I, Doug, his wife Shannon, Celeste, and Mitch.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You guys had like a whole crew.
We did have the whole crew, minus Dan. We wanted Dan to be there, but him and his wife already had something.
Yeah,
so
that's too bad.
Just about the whole crew.
Awesome.
We were missing Dan. So it was, you know what would have made that movie better?
What?
Dan. He is like the voice of God. He's got that like deep booming voice.
He does
voice.
Have that. I love listening to Dan on the radio.
You should go see it again with Dan. And then
say,
whenever,
Dan, will you just narrate this?
Whenever it shows like a vision, Dan will lean over and read like
I need you to build an ark.
That's right. I always feel like when I'm around Dan that, I feel like my voice is a little bit high, but in my head it sounds manly and low, but when I'm around Dan, I feel like my voice is like,
hey!
Hey, everybody!
How's it going?
That's how everybody feels.
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah,
Dan.
Pretty much. It is 7:20 now. We got to take a quick peek at traffic. Sorry, Talica, you got to go for a second. I know.
Good morning. Let's take a look at the traffic right now. Nothing's going on. We have the construction of I-25 in Paseo and your regular right now morning traffic. But other than that, nothing to report. It's green, which is good. Green is
means go.
It means recycle. It means Earth Day. It means trees are springing up so Noah can build the ark. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch. 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. And I'm excited. It's Friday. We've got a good Flashback Friday for you.
Oh, we do.
I just got the hits. We also have Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention of New Mexico. And last night we had a chance to catch Noah.
Yeah.
Now, before we started talking about it, were you planning on seeing this film? Are you planning?
I'm interested in seeing it. I want to see it. I've already, you know, I've heard all the warnings.
Yeah.
It's loosely based on, I will say this, before I get into that part.
Yeah.
I appreciate the fact that, and I don't know why they did this, but when they started running the trailers, the first couple of trailers I saw, you know, they just run the trailer like they normally do.
Yeah.
And then eventually they started adding that phrase that said it is loosely based on the Bible. I don't remember what the phraseology was, but basically what they're saying is this is
account.
Not a biblical account of the story of Noah. So I thought that was kind of interesting that the producers, or whomever it is that puts out the trailers, I guess it would be the producers and the promoters, they made that decision to...
Well, the president of NRB actually went to them and said, hey, guys, saw an early screening, thank you for that. Can you please say this?
Wow.
And they said, sure.
Okay.
So it was actually, the National Religious Broadcasters president went and said, hey... Can we add something? And then of their own volition, they said, sure, and they added it, and then they added at the very end for the true account, read the book of Genesis.
I remember seeing that, which I thought was...
Which was great.
That was sort of a unique thing for a movie trailer to have added to it. So I've already heard all the warnings and all that, and so I'm just looking forward to checking it out just to see what kind of a movie it is,
right,
and not going expecting to be educated in the story of Noah.
Yeah.
Really, we shouldn't be going to movies to be educated about the things of God anyway.
Yeah.
We should read that from the scripture. And, you know, if a movie comes out and it's true to the scripture, then that's okay too. But, and I think, you know, I've been reading some stuff kind of back and forth about the whole thing. And I just kind of feel like if you know going into it that it's only loosely based on the biblical story of Noah, then just go as a movie. I don't know that there's anything wrong with that. There might be people who would disagree with me on that, but you know, they have the right to be wrong. That's fine.
Man,
I reserve the right to be wrong, Sam Swine.
We posted an article yesterday with Russell Crowe from the what was it? Good Morning America.
Uh-huh.
And he did an interview and he talked a little bit about the film, and what he was speaking to was the people who have prejudged it basically and said, I will not see this film, blasphemy. And he said it was borderline stupidity because people have no idea. And he believed that it was reverent, it was respectful, you know, when you think of Noah, you're used to seeing the children's stories,
right,
and Noah standing outside and an elephant on his right and a giraffe on his left. Yeah. And you know, he said this, he was a gnarly dude. I mean, he was the last man standing, if you will. And so because of that, you know, he's pretty rugged. He's a little brutal.
Okay.
But he's still, it's interesting the way that I felt Russell Crowe, what really bummed me out about the movie was the fact that I didn't think I got enough Russell Crowe.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think I got enough Noah.
Because
there were so many characters that it was like, and now this character, and then this person over here, and this. And I'm like, man, the movie's called Noah. Can you just focus on Noah?
Yeah.
Because every time Noah has a scene, it's fantastic.
Right.
Because Russell Crowe nails it.
Yeah.
But then it was like, but we have to do character development for everybody else because we're trying to, you know, the wife, and then the kids, and there's something coming with Ham, and we need to make sure Shem and Japheth get their moments. And so because of that, it's kind of scattered around, because in the midst of that, they're building a ginormous ark because the world is about to be flooded.
Right.
And so Owen Methuselah has to have a couple scenes. So so I really wish they had focused more just on Noah, because he did capture that essence of this man who wanted to do the right things, who was that righteous man of God, who was respectful of the earth, who was respectful of what he had been given, who was trying to be a good steward in this world of chaos where everybody was just, you know, murdering and pillaging and kind of like pirates style, you know, nomads. It very much reminded me of like a Mad Max world.
Really?
Yeah. Post-apocalyptic.
You come talk to me.
Pre-apocalyptic.
Right, right.
Where it was just like, yeah, everybody left to their own devices at this point.
Wow.
They feel God's abandoned them. He hasn't really spoken to anybody in a long time because a lot of the surviving line is from Cain's, you know, because Cain goes off. And I mean, that's biblical. Cain goes off. He starts a family. He starts this civilization, if you will.
Yeah.
And so then you've got the line of Seth, and you've got the line of Cain, and the line of Cain hates the line of Seth. And Noah's really kind of like the last guy. And
And so, yeah, so there it is. And so that begins it. So the beginning and the end, I thought, were pretty great.
Okay.
It's just the middle when they kind of had to fill in the gaps, and they were like, well, let's, we got to fill this in.
Yeah, because I just pulled up the story on my little Bible app here.
Yeah.
And that's where the most detail in the Bible is where it's not in the middle. Like we hear right before we hear the flood.
Yeah.
And then, and they were on the ark for so long.
Right.
And the waters did this, and then the waters did this, and then the Lord sent a wind to stop the rain or whatever, and the water started, you know, and then we pick back up with the raven and the dove, and then after that. So the thing for me, Darren Aronofsky, okay, two things. I'm going to approach it from just a movie angle.
Yeah.
Okay. And then from the theological and how, to me.
Okay.
Because I got a little bit of different stuff out of it than
Yeah,
Steve
we have
did.
Different takes.
Because we were talking about it on the way home. But Darren Aronofsky's movies are always super depressing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this one does have a happy ending. I'm glad to say that. But a lot of the character dialogue and the interactions between even the family, even Noah and his wife and the daughter, Shem's wife, and it's just like draining because it's so negative.
Okay.
You know, not negative in like, we're bashing the Bible. It's just negative in general.
Yeah.
But then you have to think, okay, historically, if you were stuck in an ark for that long, it wouldn't be church camp. That's what we said on the way home. It's like, it wouldn't be church camp up in there. I'm sure
there
were arguments.
The Lord told Noah to build himself an ark.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely not that. And
Nine months later, we don't have...
Thank you for putting that in my head, by the way, Steve. I'm going to be singing
earworm.
That song all day long.
Put your hands up, Sam. So... That stuff, it's like that.
Okay.
I never saw Black Swan. I saw The Wrestler, and that movie is basically about this dude that's a washed-up wrestler, and then he decides he's going to get back into it. And not to, like, spoil the movie for everybody. If The Wrestler's a movie you want to see, then turn it down. But it's Mickey Rourke in it. It's just like it's a miserable movie. You see this guy that's trying to do better, and it just kind of dovetails.
Yeah.
You know? And that's kind of like the thing about Noah, is Noah is in the situation where he knows what he needs to do, and he does it. And then on the other side of him completing his task, there's a great conversation between Noah and his wife, where his wife is like, Noah, the Lord told you to do something, and you did it. Well, they call him Creator. Creator told you to do something, and you did it. Now you got to quit carrying this burden around. He's like, you did it. So... calm down, basically.
Okay.
Because Noah starts going a little stir crazy. And one of the big deviations from the Bible, because there's just nothing in there about this, is that Noah starts, he becomes convinced after going to the man, before the flood happens, he goes to the camp to see the men, because I think he's going to get like his other two kids a wife. And he goes in there and he has a vision of like, well, they're killing an animal. They're like just ripping this animal apart, and they're selling girls, like they're selling children for meat because they haven't had meat. And these are all the people outside of the ark. And it's basically like a slave trade situation. They're murdering each other. It shows the movie does an incredible job of showing the corruption of mankind.
Oh, yeah.
Why God wanted to flatten the earth.
Okay.
Like it really does a good job.
It does a great job of that.
Okay.
Like sin is real in this movie.
Yeah.
Sin is very real. It's not just like, and then God, we don't really know why he got mad, but he got mad. And so, no, you see what happened.
Okay.
And they do a great job of showing, like, how things started off perfectly and then went, you know, and now we're in this miserable state. But Noah sees, he has a vision, and he sees himself as one of those people, like, it's kind of like a demonic-looking thing. This guy turns around and looks at him, and it's him with this demon-looking face. It's Noah,
okay.
And he sees himself, and he becomes convinced that they're all just as bad. And it's a cool conversation. It's a cool look at how, you know, even when – I know there's been times in my life where I've been, like, in – some people would say, like, in the middle of the will of God, and sometimes there's a pride that comes along with that, where you're like, I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I know I'm doing it right. I'm doing everything right now, which is sinful.
Right.
And that's kind of what's happening. Noah looks around and realizes, wait a second, we're just as bad as them. We're just as bad as them. And then very, like, in a logical human way, he says, I bet God's going to kill us too. That's what he becomes convinced of,
okay.
Is that the Lord wants to wipe the earth of man, totally.
Yeah, because like all of them are wicked. I that was the part that I honestly had a hard time with. Like we talked about it in the car, because I understood the depravity of man and how we are all sinful and there are none righteous, no, not one.
Right.
However, I had a hard time because Noah. God's not in the movie. It's kind of like this visions, and he's kind of fumbling around, and he gets these visions, and it's like, God wants me to do this. But then he'll do something, and then it's like, then he gets kind of confused, and it's like, I don't know what the Lord wants, and then, you know, a flower will sprout from the ground, or I think I'm supposed to. So anytime God was supposed to do something, or he was supposed to do something, God would give him a sign. Well, there's this one point in the movie where he believes he's supposed to do something completely asinine, like completely against what God's intention in scripture is.
Okay.
And it's like, I think I'm supposed to do this. And then God gives a sign and Noah's like, all right, I'm going to do this. God just spoke to me. But that wasn't what God was saying. And so it was hard for me because throughout the movie, God's kind of speaking through these visions and stuff, but it's Noah's interpretation.
Okay.
And sometimes it's build an ark and sometimes it's murder everybody. And God was saying one of the things and not the other things. And yet it's related in the exact same tone. And so it was hard for me.
Well, see, but for me, that's what made me connect to the movie the most, because I've had situations in my life where, I mean, honestly, God hasn't come out and just, and we were talking about this last night. We look back at the Bible and we read and it's like, and God said, and we read what he said.
Right.
But in our real lives, if God tells you, like when I felt like we were supposed to move out here and do this job, there wasn't an audible voice that said,
move here.
Now, yeah. Matthew, right. You shall change your name unto Mateo and go be a DJ. You know, that didn't happen. It was a very abstract thing. It was more of a feeling. And the visions in the movie are God speaking.
Yeah.
And I was filling in lines because I read the comic. But... yeah, so it's he's speaking in visions. And so God is present, in my opinion. He's just abstract. And I think Noah, the call that he made, I connected with that part because there's been so many times where I've done something that I really felt like the Lord was supposed, that he wanted me to do. And then in the thick of it, things aren't working out. You know, like, I thought this was, you told me to do this and I'm doing this and it's not working out. It's not like clicking. People are angry. And people think, some people think I'm crazy because of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And honestly, I know I have friends that aren't Christians. And anytime I've spoken with them about how I felt like God wanted me to do something, they look at me like,
you're
what?
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you getting visions or? Well, no, I really feel impressed that this is what he wants. And it's like, you're a crazy person. Guy in the sky is talking to you.
Yeah.
But you can't hear him? What is that? And I felt like the movie did a great job of conveying that, because sometimes in the middle of God telling us to do something, we start thinking, this isn't working out the way I thought. Maybe I got it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he does want to just wipe out all of humanity. And that, to me, showed Noah's humanity. Now, it's not, it deviates from the text. I mean, you got the Nephilim up in there. Well, we caught the Nephilim. It says they're the sons of God that came down to help man. And they changed that a little bit from the comic book. Because in the comic book, it's conveyed that they felt sorry for mankind and they ditched out on heaven. But in the movie, it's like they wanted to help mankind and then the Lord punished them. Like, they knew they had done the wrong thing by coming to do it. In the comic, they kind of had like this, no, we were just trying to help you guys. And I'm speaking of the fallen, like the, you'll see it if you see the movie, the rock people.
The rock monsters.
The rock monsters.
Who are angels.
I really want to see it.
In the comic, they kind of had like this.
It's a departure.
Yeah, it's a departure.
I mean, go prepare. If there's anything to take away, it is a departure from scripture.
Okay.
They got the names right.
Yeah.
There is a giant flood.
Yep.
And
there's a rainbow at the end.
And
spoiler alert.
The other scene in the Bible, and this is the thing that the sad thing that we were talking about, the scene that I connected with the most in the movie.
Right, was the one scene that was like biblically accurate.
But here's the thing about it. it was the scene where Noah gets wasted.
Yeah.
And just lays there, and his sons come and cover him. That's in there. You don't hear that in the Bible stories. Like, if you're in Sunday school, we kind of drop off. And then, right. And then Noah got off the ark, and the Lord said, I'll never do this again. Rainbow, end. But in the Bible, it keeps going.
It does.
And that's the thing. Noah, and he kind of becomes a villain in the movie. He gets convinced that God wants to end all of mankind, and his family's saying, no, he's preserved us. Why do you think he wants... And then there's like a miracle because the girl miraculously gets pregnant, and it's like everybody else is like, God wants us to continue, but Noah is convinced. No, he wants us to all
perish.
We're
all evil. My son is covetous. This son is, you know, thinking only of himself. This son is, and so we all have sin within us, so God, we all need to be cleansed.
We're
by
just
the water.
As bad
we all need to
as
be
those
wiped
people.
Out.
Yeah. Wow. So, but then at the end of the movie, like through the course of the movie, Noah becomes his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
And kind of the enemy of the whole thing.
And is which is why they didn't need a bad guy.
There is a bad guy. There's a bad guy there for dramatic device. A guy sneaks onto the ark.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, you know, of course.
Is that a deviation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, that's nowhere. Nowhere.
And then there was this one scene, and Jack and Rose, and they find this old-timey car.
And
he's drawing her.
And he's on a, Jack's on a, like a. Or he's in the water.
Yeah, he's in the
and
water.
And she lets him go.
She's on top floating.
On
a
door.
Like,
it was a
I'll
door.
I'll never let you go. And then they both drown because they were evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. So. The thing
that would have been a better movie.
Noah becomes this guy.
Titanic.
Yeah,
that would have been like the top number four grossing movie of all time.
Dude, it would have been.
So Noah becomes like his own worst enemy.
Yeah,
and everything works out. I'm not gonna say how it works out. Everything works out. But then fast forward after the thing, the animals are reproducing. Noah is estranged from his family, and you gotta understand on the ark, everybody started kind of like. You're crazy to Noah. Like, you are crazy.
They really depict the depravity, and, I mean, you're thinking about being in a boat, and the earth is drowning around you, and hearing the screams of people dying, and the idea of, like, but can't we just save these people right here? These
and
kids in the boat, you know, like,
they're all saying,
sorry.
How do we know they're not good? Because Noah's like,
if we're all bad.
Creator wants me to save the innocent.
Right.
And then he gets, we're all just as bad as them.
Yeah.
You know, so you see, like, the struggle of this guy that's been told, hey, you're going to be the only family that lives. I'm going to destroy mankind. And we don't have any of this in the Bible, but I see the humanity in that. I see myself in that because of the times that the Lord's told me to do something, and I get in the thick of it, and I start doubting. And I start thinking, maybe I interpreted it wrong. Maybe it meant this, you know, and I really need to do this thing. And how many times does that happen to all of us? And at the end of the day, God comes in and goes, boom! And you think, I should have just trusted him. Should have just trusted him. And that's Noah's journey. And so at the end of the movie, he is just getting plowed out on some beach by himself.
Yeah.
Because the water's receding, so tons of beach. But he's in this cave, and he kind of gets restored. And he gets restored. That's a cool moment. But he has to realize, and I think I connected with it because I was like, this guy just did something that wiped mankind off the face of the earth. And he was just following instructions from God. No wonder he feels awful. His family was like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but then restoration happens at the end, and he realizes that the Lord wasn't telling him the whole time that you guys are supposed to be gone. And that's the cool thing, because they say, you know, God, and we talked about this on Shock Therapy a little bit. God gave him something to do, and it was up to Noah to do it, and it was his choice about how he was going to do it, you know? And so that's like a situation I just really connect. The abstract stuff about God and humanity in the movie, I loved it so much. But as a movie, I wouldn't necessarily go see it in the theater.
It's like 2.5 hours long.
Because it gets kind of boring.
And it's a lot of dialogue.
Okay.
It's super meta because you got to think if you're on the ark for that long, it was probably pretty boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, that's kind of what's happening.
I felt like I was on an ark. It was a long movie. It was a long movie. So,
wow. Okay. Okay.
As a biblical, quote unquote biblical film, I would give it a pass because it's very loosely based. As a movie in general, I would say, well, it was all right.
I would say
there
like,
were moments.
Yeah. It's one of those that. Well, here's the thing. Two favorite scenes in the movie. Oh, and the creation account was beautiful. And I think there are certain things about that people are going to have a really hard time with.
Okay.
But it's a beautifully shot scene. And there is one thing in it that's a little different from the comic that I'm glad was different.
Right.
Well, I'll just say it.
You're telling the entire film. We're not.
It's Noah. Have you ever heard of Noah? The story of Noah?
Yeah.
But I haven't read the comic. Don't spoil the comic for me.
I won't say it. Oh, and that's the thing. I like the comic book better. I like the comic book better. If you're gonna do this take on Noah, if you see the movie, I would say get the comic. Borrow it from somebody or buy it or whatever, because the comic it's a beautiful comic book. And I
completely
just kinda,
a departure from scripture though.
Yeah.
Like we're giving that one.
But the kind of sad thing about it is the scene at the end where he's, you know, drunk and then he gets restored. That's my favorite part of the thing. But my favorite part of the movie, absolutely, was the trailers at the beginning, and that's the really sad thing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, Captain America! The whole time.
Hey.
Hey, Stever.
Stever!
Did you guys go see Noah?
Gosh.
We saw it.
How was it? It was really good. We had all the radio people go with us.
Cool. So tell me about it.
Hey, Stever. We just told everybody.
Well, I want to hear.
Well, you should have listened to the show.
There you go.
It's a really long review. Cool. We've been talking about
Thanks,
guys. Hey, thank you.
Love you, Stever.
Thanks, Stever.
Hey, give Doug a dirty look when you're walking by.
Yeah, because he even went to the movie with us. I mean, it was like all the radio guys went with us. It was great.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey.
I like your haircut.
Sorry. Man.
So anyway, yeah.
Why didn't we invite Stever?
For me, I would give Noah 2.5 floating boats out of 5.
Oh gosh.
Nah.
That's it.
Okay.
It wasn't a terrible movie. It wasn't a fantastic.
I would give
epic,
it 3.5,
which sucks because it is an epic tale.
It's an epic story. Absolutely.
And you're thinking Russell Crowe, Anthony Hopkins, Jennifer Connelly. The actors were there. It could have been incredible, even with the story that they had, not necessarily talking biblically, just with the story that they had, it could have been so much more.
Okay,
so
parts of it didn't connect. There were parts like between the actors that I just, you know, if we're gonna go all like movie talk, there were parts where like we were bored.
Absolutely. They were trying to do too much. Like I was saying, they were trying to do too much. You wanted really more Noah. You wanted to have a better understanding, because I had a hard time with some of his reasoning behind certain things, and. You know, as he was saying, you know, the humanity of that, I see a different Noah in Scripture. I see Noah as the only guy that God chose to spare because he was righteous.
Right.
That's the only, God decided to rebuild the entire world based off of one family because this was the most upright dude in the entire world.
Yeah.
So humanity aside, Hebrews 11, the heroes of the faith, it was by faith that Noah was warned by God concerning these events to come, that in reverent fear, he constructed an ark for the saving of his household because he knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Because he was righteous and upright and God picked him and chose him.
Right.
So it was hard.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's not really depicted super well.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Cool.
So it was, it was kind of a. Yeah, it was.
I see that, and I feel like he did that. I feel like he did. Initially, he constructed the ark to save his family, and then I guess I just really this was a real person and a real human,
but the most upright dude in the universe that God was choosing to start a brand new culture world with.
But even Jesus cried, and even Jesus had bad times, you know. And I just feel like Noah, there had to have been times where he was. Struggling with what was going on. Everyone outside of the ark was dying. Yeah. I don't think he was walking around saying, I'm doing the right thing.
Well, I don't want to ruin the movie for those that are going to see it. So, anyways. Yeah.
So that's it.
There you go. All right.
Okay.
We gotta take a quick break. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we will change subjects. No more Noah talk.
Noah.
It is Friday. Flashback Friday, in fact.
Oh.
Some metal licka on the way. Right back. We got some 610. We got the Gaslight Anthem. It's Team Awesome Morning Party?
No.
Static.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Flashback Friday. Good morning. Metallica.
Got that last one in. I'm Lars Ulrich.
That's more like Metallica Unplugged.
Yeah, we didn't have any Metallica music ready to go, and then we realized it was Flashback Friday with Metallica. And
I just want everyone to honor my perfect representation of him playing the drums.
Yeah, because it was a little, yeah.
It was good.
It was a little off.
I'm kidding.
You know what?
I had a tear.
Steve-O showed me old Metallica one night when we were coming home from a Lobo game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was surprised and impressed because the early Metallica stuff, he's nailing it. You know, he's like on it. And then now you hear, and I'm talking about the drummer. Now you hear it, and it's kind of like, oh, man, do your legs not work anymore?
Yeah.
It's true.
You got to play the kick drum every
once in a while. Ethan Luck would be here punching me right now.
He
boom!
Would.
Boom! You don't talk about it.
But I think even he would admit
he's
lost a step or two. But that's okay.
Well.
I mean, Sam, you love Metallica, right?
I've heard of Metallica, yes.
Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention of New Mexico.
Metallica's his intro music, remember? He knows all about
it. That's my
walk-up. He's like, all right, I'm coming in on the one.
Welcome to Disciple Now!
I preached against Metallica in the 90s.
Did you?
Yes.
No, I'm
just kidding.
Well, I've seen videos, not of you, but of just, you know, people.
I just tried to teach my students to be I didn't tell them what to listen to, but I told them to be discerning in what they're listening
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
I wanted them to try
that's
to.
That's the smart
and
thing.
And if they came to me and said, what's your opinion on this, I would give an opinion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to let them make their own decision based on their conviction and based on. Yeah. I even had a kid bring a bunch of his records after we had a conversation like that.
Wow.
Well, CDs.
Yeah.
And he busted them all. He said, God has really convicted me about this. And
And
he busted probably $250 worth
of CDs. He couldn't have taken them to like a Hastings and traded them in.
We're like, wait, friend.
That was before Hastings took use because they were all still brand new.
Yeah.
It was brand new CD technology, so there were only 20 available anyway.
If you're a smart youth minister nowadays, instead of encouraging burning or breaking CDs or anything like that, you're like, hey, let's put them up on eBay we'll give the money to the youth group.
This would be a youth ministry fundraiser here.
Fundraiser for our
we can
future
go to Guatemala.
Summer camp. That's right. Yeah. Static!
Good morning!
Good morning!
So, Mateo,
buddy.
A bass player, I'm pretty sure you've gotten a lot of flack for being a bass player, you know, hearing all the silly jokes, am I correct?
Wait, no, man, everybody says I'm super cool.
Yes, okay.
That's
well, most bass players in general, I'm a drummer.
Mm.
Well, let me give you, in honor of Fun Joke Friday, let me give you a few of my most cherished drummer jokes.
Yes, please, thank
you. Oh, this is beautiful.
Yeah,
I like what's happening here. All right,
okay.
We're ready.
How do you get the drummer off of your porch?
Change
aim for the pizza. What do you call a drummer without a girlfriend?
A drummer?
A bass player.
Home.
Oh, okay. Gosh. Now, how can you tell if the stage is level?
How?
The drummer will drool out of both sides of his mouth.
Oh.
Here's another one. How do guitar players park in handicapped spots?
I give up.
They put drumsticks on the dashboard.
Okay.
And my last one, and this is probably my personal favorite, how many drummers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
Three. One to do it, and the other two to stand around and talk about how much better Neil Peart could have done it.
Oh, my God.
You have a good day, now. Goodbye.
Awesome. Brilliant. Amazing.
Drummer jokes.
That's
funny.
Jokes.
The sad thing is I don't feel like people make bass player jokes because bass players just are not cared about in general.
Right.
It's like, bass player joke? Who's a bass player? Is that the one with the stupid-looking guitar?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that the guy that's just standing there going, boom, boom, boom?
Is that the one with the easy guitar?
Yeah.
I've never asked you, why. Like, what was it about the bass guitar for you that was just like, I have to play bass?
I just got a sign. I looked at the ground and a flower popped out.
Shut up.
It was in the shape of a P bass. It was incredible. No, funny thing. I actually started on guitar.
Really?
I went to a Centrifuge.
Uh-huh.
Booyah.
I went to
a Centrifuge. Sam knows just what I'm talking about because that's like it used to be a big Baptist thing.
It still is.
Okay, cool.
It's just been shortened to Fuge Camp. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Well, so they were giving like tracks, like guitar, like you could take a track, you know,
and
one of them was beginner guitar. So I took it, learned a couple of things. A
couple
then,
of riffs.
Then went home and my granddad gave me one of his guitars because then I found out that my papa, who's a preacher, used to play guitar and fiddle in a band on the radio. And this was back when like you had to go into the studio like Johnny Cash style and play the song in the radio, on the station. You had to play it.
Right.
You know, so he's awesome, and he was so stoked when I started playing music. He was like, here's my guitar.
Oh,
I want you to
that's
have
so
it.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
So
do you still have that guitar?
Yes, somewhere.
Okay, good.
So,
good.
But it was like a Squire. You know, it wasn't anything awesome.
You mean like my grandfather's 1942 Gibson that I still have? That's
oh, right, Mister. I wouldn't say that on the radio because now people will find you.
find your house.
So, you know, like I tried guitar for a while.
Yeah.
And then a buddy of mine started a band in high school, and he had a bass, and so he let me play the bass, and I was playing it like a guitar, like trying to make chords on it. He's like, "That's not how you play a bass," and I was like, "Oh," but having the bass, I was like, "Hmm." I think if I was ever really in a band, I'd probably try to play bass. And then I got into Blink 182, and Mark Hoppus played the bass. So my first bass was a Mark Hoppus bass. And Dave from Waverly actually taught me how to play.
Oh, okay.
I had the limited guitar knowledge, and because originally, in freshman 15, I was going to be the other guitar player. And then our guy that was going to play bass came to one practice in our dorm room where we're just sitting there, like, messing with stuff. And Dave's trying to teach me the simple, like, power chords. I had power chords, and I'm just trying to keep up. And the guy's name was Daniel. He never showed up again. So I was like, well, I want to play bass anyway. I'd rather play bass.
Yeah.
And Dave taught me how to play bass on his dad's purple jazz bass
wow.
in Alabama.
Cool.
And the first song I ever learned was Anthem Part 2 by Blink-182. Yeah, so it was...
Sweet.
That's how I got... And I should have started way earlier. I almost got a drum set in high school. And I feel like to this day, if I had a drum set, I would have always been a drummer.
He's yeah. a really good drummer.
He
really is.
I watch him, you know, when we're off air and the music's playing, he stands right here by the counter and plays...
And
not just with his hands, because a lot of people can do rhythm with their hands, but I'm watching, he's doing a kick foot, and I'm watching him do the hi-hat, and it's like he's playing the drums over here.
We're doing a special all-worship service this Sunday at Remedy Church with the Echoing Green. Joey and Chrissy and myself and Teo's playing bass and also playing the synthesizer.
I can't wait to do that.
We've been practicing, and because it's, you know, it's like 12 songs.
Right.
It's an entire service of worship music. If anybody's interested, actually, remedyabq.org is the website. And, it's 10 o'clock this Sunday morning. We don't normally do something like that, but it's a fifth Sunday, so we're doing an all-worship service. And so we've been practicing, and the band's been getting together and kind of doing stuff. Well, our drummer walked off. I don't even know what he was doing. He went off to do something, and Teo got into the... Because the drummer's like locked in a room.
Right.
Because it's an old assembly as a god.
Right,
I mean, this
is
a soundproof. Hey, drummer, you're too loud.
I've seen those before.
All right?
Yeah.
All right. Some glad morning when this life is over. We don't need drums.
Right.
So.
If I wanted a rhythm section, I'd have brought my own drummer. Yeah, yeah. I hear you.
Hey, Sally, can you grab that tambourine? All right there, sweetheart. Okay, here we go.
There you go.
Turn to page 143.
We'll stomp our feet. Yeah. You play the tambourine. Rhythm section.
It's not really that bad, but we do have a drum room. And so he got in there and just started messing around, and we rocked through like a whole song.
Yeah, cool.
And he kept time the whole time.
The thing was, if I would have had the click in my ear and I could have heard you, it would have been even better because I couldn't really hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm telling you.
That's cool.
This Sunday, 10 a.m. Hey, what are you doing this Sunday? Yeah, go ahead. Give us an excuse.
This Sunday, I think I'm... Oh, I get to be in my own church this Sunday, and I get to teach my middle school Bible
studies.
Yeah,
dumb. Nerd!
So lame.
Hang out with the middle school kids
not lame.
At Eastern Hills Baptist. Shout out to the middle school kids.
Shout out Eastern Hills.
Hills
Baptist
But
kids.
If you guys do want to come see me mess around on a synthesizer...
I would love.
In itself,
it's going to be awesome.
I
it will be
I
hilarious.
Be that would be awesome.
Well,
my wife
started putting it together a few months ago, actually, because we knew we were going to be doing an all-worship service coming up, and so... you know, her being half of the Echoing Green decided we should do an electronic worship thing, you know, where all of the songs were going to kind of reimagine electronic. And I'm like, oh, good, because I play an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
So that totally helps.
That really fits.
Hey, but it does. Like, the guitar,
I'm sure.
It's necessary because he kind of fills out a rhythm spot.
And I've been going through pedals. I've never used any kind of a pedal except a chromatic tuner with my guitar.
Right.
And so I've been kind of messing around with different pedals and making it sound interesting,
yeah,
to
bet.
Say the least. So, yeah, that's this Sunday,
that'd
10 a.m.
Cool.
Way
yeah.
out on Coors and Sage, south of Central.
Okay.
Yes. If you think you've gotten to too far because you're on Coors and Central, no, you have not gone far enough south.
Keep going.
You keep going south, like three blocks.
All right.
So yeah, it's out there. But
it'll be out
I'm
there.
Really excited. It's gonna be.
I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. As because when you play bass, another dimension, especially right now, and it was big in the 80s, and it's kind of come back around as the synth bass.
Right.
And I don't have the money to buy like a little synth thing, but I want to do it. Towards the end of Waverly, that was the plan, is we were all going to have a synth station along with our regular instrument.
Oh, yeah.
And then we broke up. So it was going that way, you know, and now Joey's like, Matt, play this. Boom. And he hands me this awesome analog synthesizer.
Right.
And it's real. Like, if I mess with stuff, it goes out of tune.
Yeah.
You know, like,
that's
I have to.
That's doom. Sick.
So
yeah.
it's going to be
awesome.
Fun. And it's like, I'm definitely just playing like B, A. You know,
right.
I'm doing that.
Right.
But
it's like, wah, wah, wah,
it's
wah,
awesome because you put the effects on it. Yeah. And it's like,
yeah.
Wah, wah, and you
it's
can mess
so
with the.
Cool.
That is cool.
It's cool. So it sounds really rad. It's going to be this Sunday.
Yeah. Good.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It is. We're looking forward to it. So anyways. It is Friday. Pay It Forward Friday.
Woo!
Coming up. We talked about this during breaking news. An 8-year-old helped a lot of his school friends. Talk about how he did that and what you can do in your community. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
No!
Static.
You were built for blessing, but you only make them bleed. You don't care.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. On Static Radio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah! Good morning!
Hey, morning, y'all. It's me, Metallica's biggest fan. My name's Terry.
Oh, man. It is Friday, Flashback Friday, and our intern Doug picked Metallica. Because, you know, that just goes right along with our playlist.
He totally dug that situation.
Ah!
He dug it.
And then Sam Swan was like, yeah! One of my favorite bands. So we're like, all right, Sam. Metallica, 90s. This is Injustice for All.
This
is more 80s.
This will really make me sound like an idiot more than I normally sound.
Hey.
But,
come on now.
But I thought Metallica was a paint color. I had no idea for a long time.
Okay.
See, I told you.
Punch him. Punch him. Just punch him.
You can't punch Baptist.
Justice. Punch him.
Then they give you that look and turn the other cheek, and then you feel like a jerk.
You're like, oh, great.
Great. Now I'm a jerk.
Yes. We take the high road.
You know what we should do?
Man.
We posted a picture of some coasters that our buddy Paul in Houston
They
sent
look
us.
Sick.
They are awesome. And I want we kind of threw it out there as a kind of a competition, not really a little contest.
Yeah.
But if you could guess all of the bands in the pictures, then we were like, hey, we'll give you a prize.
Yeah.
Who knew about it? If you call in and tell us. And nobody's called in.
Yeah. Thebes texted and said, I've tried to call in like 3 times.
Well, it is his birthday.
It is.
Thebes, call again.
Yeah. He said thanks for the birthday shout-outs, to which I replied, thanks for being born.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because he's a good dude.
Yeah, I see where he said that now. But we got some people commenting on Facebook, also on Instagram.
Yeah.
The photos going around. You guys, go check out these coasters because they're pretty fantastic.
Our dear friend Paul in Houston went above and beyond with this pretty rad coaster set. Here's the problem. There's 4 coasters, so it's like, you know, right now we live together, so it works out. But what happens when you move out? Which 2 are you taking?
I get the best ones.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding. Hey, you know what?
You know what you could do?
We'll settle it by casting lots. Which, what that means is you get to throw a member of my family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
or
physically throw them across
well,
the
room. Well, when you move, that's exactly what we are doing. We're casting
out
from our house. We're from our
casting
house.
Us.
Yeah.
Or.
Get out.
Yeah.
Instead of fighting over which 2 either one of you get.
Yeah.
You could give them to me.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I thought you were going to go like
hey.
King Solomon style.
No, not
like,
King Solomon.
We both want the Paul and Oates one.
I'm straight
like,
up selfish.
We're
I would love to
half.
Have
oh,
I would
bad.
Love to have those coasters.
Half. Baptist.
I would put those in my office.
Those are pretty
I have a
great
table
coasters.
In my
so
office
you,
that
you
those
know,
would be great on.
The Baptist thing would be to gift them to somebody else.
I would love to be able to set my cup of coffee on your face. That would just be I'm looking forward to
it. I see
what's
happening.
Go to our Instagram. Check it out at MyStaticRadio. You can find it on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Get there, like us, follow us. We put up some pretty interesting videos/photos
Try
and whatnot.
Try to.
Yeah. It's good stuff, bruh. It's good stuff.
We talked a little earlier about this, Sam. I don't know if you heard it, but an 8-year-old kid over in Michigan.
Oh, man.
He became a hero.
He's a hero to
his
fellow.
He became a hero to kids. And, you know, we do this thing called Pay It Forward Friday every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And so just to kind of reiterate what this kid did, he saw, like, he's a third grader, for crying out loud, but he saw some kids not being able to purchase lunch because they didn't have money in their accounts.
Right.
And this kid had partnered up with his mama, and now they've raised almost $35,000.
Wow.
Not only for his school, but just for kids in general that don't have money to pay for lunch. An 8-year-old did this.
This is Luke's age.
Yeah, this is Luke. This is Luke.
This is Luke.
Luke did this. He's a hero. There's a hero in our house.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
He deserves the coasters.
Well, how many 8-year-olds do you know would, like, see
think
that
of other
situation
people.
And go,
absolutely,
we need to change this system.
Yeah.
This system is corrupt. It's
this
not working.
It's wrong.
How much money did they raise?
First, it started off. 2 weeks ago, Caden comes home upset from Challenger Elementary School in Howell, Michigan. During lunchtime, one of his friends had been forced to give up his hot lunch for a cheese sandwich.
No cheese sandwich!
Because of the overdue balance on his lunch account.
Oh, okay.
So he comes home, talks with his mom. They came up with a plan to pay off the overdue lunch accounts at his school, all of them, by returning empty bottles and cans and soliciting donations from friends, family, and neighbors. Last Monday, he handed over the fruits of his labor, $64, which paid for around 150 lunches.
Wow.
For kids. Awesome. That small gesture of kindness has since grown into a widespread effort. After a local radio station mentioned what Caden had done, others expressed their desire to help, and he and his mom started an online campaign to collect donations. Hundreds of people from the U.S. and abroad have pitched in to donate over $10,800 to his cause. And then we read the fundraiser thing he was doing. He has a $35,000 goal, and he's gotten a little over 30.
Already.
So he's
already
almost there.
Yeah. $30,000.
Wow. 8 years old.
Yeah.
Not for himself.
No.
He wants to help others.
So
when God decides to destroy the earth again, that's the kid that he's going to have build his army.
That's who you need to follow right there.
Because that kid right there is good people.
Oh, Caden.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Follow him into the desert.
Funny thing is,
I'm already here.
We don't get to hear stories like that.
You don't hear them too often.
We hear, and I'm sure there's a lot of stuff like that going on. But we just don't hear about it.
Sadly,
we hear about all the other stuff.
Yeah, it's the 8-year-old who took cocaine to show and tell,
right,
or had a gun in his backpack,
right,
or all these awful things. And we're wondering, where have all the cowboys gone?
Right. Where's the... Yeah, because there's not... It's just not everybody's doing bad stuff. I mean, there is some bad stuff going on,
yeah,
no doubt.
This kid isn't the bad kid that the school wanted.
I think...
it's the kid that they needed.
Yeah.
I'm so stuck in Batman right now. Get me out of here. Okay, so
I can't, man.
To the Batcave.
The thing you usually hear about kids and if there's a school involved. Now I'm in the 60s.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Some days there's just nothing to do with a bomb.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you remember that line from the
movie?
Of course. That's one of my favorite parts.
He's
some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Oh my goodness.
You don't
guys
remember that?
Usually
Adam
when there's
West.
A kid and a school involved, it's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is like taking that.
Or getting expelled for
right, for help shaving your head.
And helping somebody with cancer.
Oh,
that happened earlier this week.
I saw that in the news. I was really upset about
it.
So
we try, you know, at least on Fridays, it's one of those days. We want you to enjoy your day.
Mm-hmm.
So a happy little story about an 8-year-old.
And it's really cool to see like a kid doing this of his own volition.
Yeah.
You know? He's not... I don't know. It just sometimes these things feel so forced. But this kid comes home and he's like, "No, I want to make a difference."
Yeah. He was upset because his friend
wanted to make a change.
Yeah.
Make that change
for once in his life.
Man, it's pretty cool.
My challenge to myself is to go 5 minutes without using lyrics as form of speaking.
I don't think you can do it.
I don't know if I can, but I'm gonna try.
Okay,
that's a lyric.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try. Yeah, that's a lot of songs right there. I'm going to try.
How could you do this? Give it one more try.
I suddenly feel like I need a glow stick or something. I don't.
You do, Sam. Did you not bring your glow sticks?
It's in the car. I can go get it real quick. Can we take a break?
You're supposed to have more than one.
Oh, that's true.
If you're going to go for it, you need to go for it.
Well, one glow stick at a time for me, baby. That's all I got.
So anyway, there's this 8-year-old kid in Michigan. He decided he was going to pay off a bunch of lunches, and I encourage you, if you are listening, look for a need today, and if you can meet that need, then help out. Yeah,
you know,
dude.
Be it money, be it... We are always taking donations for the Albuquerque Rescue Mission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just drop them off at the station, and then when they come in once a week to talk on the Celeste Show,
yeah,
we pass them along.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We are called to love our neighbors, and that kid did exactly that. When you do that, you see the power of love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so...
Dang it!
He didn't make it!
We went 6 minutes.
I couldn't do it!
I knew you couldn't.
That literally was about a minute and a half.
Was it even that long?
I don't know.
It was like 45 seconds, I thought. Of course, I'm a lot older. Time passes slowly for me.
Whoa. Hey, now you're getting into Theology Thursday.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Yeah. Random phone call before
random
the top
phone
of the hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Gosh!
Random hang up.
Why do you hang up on us, people?
It's because they call and we don't answer.
We don't answer and they get.
What time did you say you had to go?
I have to check out of here at about 9 o'clock, man. I'm sorry. Today's a work day for me. It's not my day off today.
A work day for Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention of New Mexico. So you're going to be hanging out at Eastern Hills Baptist Church this Sunday, huh? With the middle schoolers?
Yeah, man. I get to teach my Bible study. My wife and I teach the middle school Bible study on Sunday mornings. The rule is, when I'm in town, I teach, and when I'm out of town, she teaches. And sometimes she's teaching more than I am.
Okay.
But those kids are awesome. They're funny. They make me laugh.
Yeah.
And they're it's a good group of students. They ask, you know, the other thing about middle school kids that if you don't spend a lot of time with them, you don't realize this.
Yeah.
They're sharp, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a lot of energy, and you got to do things a little bit different to kind of keep them engaged. But if you can get them, even if you get them involved in a good discussion, they like that. They, at least the group that we're working with, enjoys it a lot. They ask good questions. And sometimes, you know, they ask silly questions, which, you know, we kind of spend a second on the silly question, and then we can come back to the, it's just good small group technique. That's right. All.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're a leader and a teacher.
I'm a leader.
Why
and
do you
a
have
teacher?
To leave us? Don't leave us.
I wish I could stay.
If you leave, don't leave now. Please don't take my heart away. I feel like I'm just going to do all lyrics for the rest of the day.
That would be even better.
Speak only in lyrics. All lyrics all day.
So
because if I leave you now, I might take away the biggest part of you.
Oh, man. Well, every time you go away, you take a piece of me with you.
Well,
that got weird fast.
It did.
All right.
Awkward!
All right. Well, that's it for Sam Swan.
Well,
are you out?
I'm out today.
I think.
Right.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think we're alone now.
Okay.
I did it. I did it, everyone.
You did
it. I did it.
Oh man, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're gonna talk about what Billboard is doing with Twitter, the team up.
It's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
If you're interested in music at all, music industry, this is a weird thing that's going on.
Yeah.
Definitely a sign of the times.
Also, an addiction you didn't think you had that you probably actually do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Oh, no, I'm sad. I'm leaving.
I know. You got to go. It's all right.
Sometimes.
That's all right.
I like my job, but I don't like going to work.
It's not us. It's you, man.
Does that make sense? I hope nobody important heard that.
They're listening. They're like, Sam said for me to listen to him on the show, and I'm going to do it today, first day ever. Okay, Sam.
I'm going to call the boss.
I see what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Gosh. All right.
Sad.
Right around the corner, more of this year's show, no more of Sam Swan, but that's okay. We'll see you next week.
All right, man.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
There it is. Quick break, right back with more Team Awesome Morning Party.
No.
Static.
Not well done to me.
Yeah, you're doing well. No, well done.
Well done. Guys, this morning, my friend here, the computer, not now, but earlier, completely freaked out. It was awesome. The screen just went totally black.
Aw, freak out!
The little hourglass wasn't even moving.
No.
It was pretty funny. I think the computer hates Metallica. It's the problem. Computer's like, Metallica ain't Christian. What y'all doing?
Metallica.
Wah! That sounded more like, what's the band that
Disturbed.
Does
the...
Disturbed. Ugh. I'm sorry, everyone. Yeah, I did that to you. Right now, traffic in Albuquerque is looking pretty good. Things are moving swimmingly. So if you're out there driving, hey,
just
kudos
keep
to
swimming.
You.
Just keep
swimming. Keep doing what you're doing and stay off the phone. Construction I-25 in Paseo is moving along. I saw a sign that tells me it's going to be completed December of this year.
Oh, dude, I saw a sign. And it opened up my eyes.
I saw the sign.
Yeah, life is demanding.
Hey, it's going to be a cruel, cruel summer. And so we're looking forward to it. And we're looking forward to when the I-25 construction is going to be done. That's your look at traffic here in the Albuquerque area. Let's throw it over to Steve-O.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road, northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Hey, everybody. Found a story this morning about some Russian teens who took the milk slogan seriously. They decided they wanted to milk life.
And not just milk life, guys. They wanted to bathe in it. That's right. We've got a doozy of a story for you right now here on Team Awesome Morning Party. Some Russian dairy plant closed down after workers decided, hey, let's bathe in that milk. That's right, folks.
This is real.
Bathe in the milk. Straight out of Moscow, a Siberian dairy plant was temporarily closed Friday after its workers had been found bathing in the milk, a Russian consumer oversight agency reported. So if lately you've gotten any milk or cheese from Trade House Cheeses, a dairy producer in Omsk, Russia.
That's some hairy dairy.
Hey, look out, babies! Okay, now the jokes are happening in my head, and I literally can't say any of them.
Okay.
So I feel bad. I'm convicted, but at the same time, I'm sad that I can't share these with you guys. This is about 1,600 miles east of Moscow, which is probably the only town in Russia that all of us know about. It was closed for 90 days by regional authorities for an urgent inspection after complaints resulting from photographs and a video posted by one of the very smart employees on a Russian social network.
Okay. Oh, how many times do we have to tell you guys, if you're going to do something stupid, don't film it for YouTube? Actually, we're very thankful for these dairy morons who filmed this video for YouTube, because now I will never, ever, ever have a desire to drink milk ever
again.
There
you go. The lactose intolerant of this world are rejoicing. Also, to me, this is just dairy stupid.
Yeah.
You're welcome. In the photograph and video clips posted on New Year's Eve by worker Artyom Romanov, a group of undressed employees relax in a container of milk. It's part of their celebration, ringing in the new year, starting fresh in a tub of milk. Ugh. While still partly undressed, they then demonstrate cheese making in a clownish manner. But in reality, our work is very boring, ... Romanov wrote in a caption accompanying the images.
Ugh.
Oh, man.
I mean, they work at a dairy plant.
Mm-hmm.
They're Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider them Moscows?
What happened in this dairy plant in Omsk is, of course, a case of sheer idiocy. But nowadays, there is nothing to prevent such idiots from indulging in similar outrages or routinely violating production and sanitary conditions elsewhere in this country. This is a quote from, where's his name? His last name is Yanin.
Okay.
And that's all I have of him, but he's the board chairman of the Russian Confederation of Consumer Societies.
All right, right down the street, there is a giant cereal factory.
Oh.
What is it, General Mills? Something like that? Because there are mornings where we're like, is that Fruity Pebbles?
That's
what is
serious.
That? What are they making today?
No, that's...
If you could jump into a giant vat of anything...
You don't have to ask me. Yes. Like cereal related?
Yeah, but what would it be?
Let's not say anything.
Into a milk bath. I know.
I don't know if
I'm
I'd
not
do
a milk
thing.
I don't...
Dude, I'd do the pool full of Jell-O. That's like a childhood dream.
Yeah.
Anybody, if you could do a pool full of Jell-O, I feel like anybody would. Jell-O, people. Doug, Jell-O. I know Doug would. Look at him. Now, the real question is, which flavor? Because I'm going grape.
Do
I'm
they
jumping.
Even have grape Jell-O?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Come on,
I
man.
I think orange,
hey,
lemon.
Come on, man.
The red grape. One. What's the red one? Cherry, strawberry? All of the above?
There are differences.
Okay.
Different red flavors.
Grape Jell-O. Grape Kool-Aid is my favorite.
Oh.
Oh, yeah!
If you could jump into a vat of something, what would that be? Call us. Keep it clean.
It's Friday! 505-338-3700. Some Russian dairy workers bathed in milk.
Bathing
that just sounds
milk.
So disgusting to me.
Bathing in the milk. Oh, yeah.
They had to jump in there, rocking a bath in milk. They rocked the shampoo, the conditioner.
They did it. Man, it's a pretty cheesy story, but we wanted you guys to hear it anyway. 52 of the cases that happened. Okay, in the western city of Kaliningrad, Russia, 74 cases of acute food poisoning from eating shawarma, meat kebab, at a local cafeteria were registered this week. The longest name I have ever seen in my life is
Read it.
Rosprochinabdozer. Kaliningrad. I have no idea what that says. That's the longest Russian name I have
ever
seen.
That's a dude's name.
I don't know.
He'd be a terrible Bond villain because he couldn't even, like, it takes 7 minutes just to get through the monologue because you're trying to pronounce his
name. You're just going, oh, okay. James Bond would be like, oh, I'm going to shoot you.
Can I call you Artie?
You're still halfway through your name. Boom. I'm sorry. Movie over. Guys, go home. I'm going to go home. Let's all go home.
Longest name in the history of long names.
But anyway, this guy says that because of, you know, this is more often than not, it's led to dire consequences, especially in food production, catering services. 74 cases of acute food poisoning. 52 of the cases were hospitalized in a regional infectious disease clinic. 47 diagnosed with salmonella infection. The facility in question was closed for inspection. So we're saying, if you're going to Russia, for some reason, the Olympics are over, why are you going to Russia? But if you're going to Russia, just maybe take your own food.
Yeah.
Take some stuff. Maybe there'll even be a microwave over there. You never know. But judging from those pictures we all saw from Sochi, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm good. I think I'm good with ever wanting to go to Russia, ever desiring to go there.
It seems too snowy for me. Just way too snowy. Now, you teased this a minute ago.
Yeah.
What is this addiction that I have that I'm not sure?
Well, it goes along with milk.
Oh.
If you're jonesing for some chocolate, are you a chocolate guy?
I do. I like chocolate. Not like, I'm not fiend. I like more sweet tarts. That kind of thing, like tart candies. That's me.
Here's something interesting. I didn't think I'm not necessarily a chocolate guy, but just this morning I went in to talk to Maria, our boss,
mm-hmm.
and she had a little bowl, and I looked over there, and there was like York peppermint patties and Heath bars.
Oh.
Yeah, she refilled her chocolate bowl.
Oh, what?
And I was like, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I shouldn't be eating chocolate. I haven't had anything to put in my tummy except that Americano. You know what? I'll just have one York peppermint patty while I'm talking to you. Talk, eating.
I'm still here. I better eat more.
3 Heath bars, 5 York peppermint patties.
Are you kidding me? Just then? You were gone for 3 minutes. You're going to pass out in a sugar coma.
To be fair, they're the fun size.
Oh.
I mean, and what's not fun about mini-sized little peppermint patties and, yeah. So
the sugar coma.
And guess what, judger of judgerness? According to the University of Bristol, if I'm jonesing for some chocolate, I better give in.
What?
Yeah, according to this research, the more we try to fight off a craving for chocolate specifically, the more our desire for it grows in our mind.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Here's the good news about it. University of Bristol says that chocoholics? Chocoholics?
Chocoholics.
Count Chocula can take heart. Sweets are not necessarily addictive, despite the fact that many people consider themselves as having no control over their urges to eat the sweets. It's because your body needs something in that moment, and it, boop, chocolate!
Chocolate.
Now, hey, listen, Teletubby, I'm not telling you to eat 7 Hershey bars, okay? After one, maybe that craving could be satisfied with like a couple squares. All right, buddy.
Why am I?
I know you're doing. I know you're doing CrossFit. You're trying to get fit and healthy.
Now, if this thing said sweet tarts, I'd be all about it.
That's true.
Heck yes.
Oh, man. We're like, every single holiday, you are stoked because it's like, dude, sweet tart Easter eggs. Dude. Oh, man, sweet tart shamrocks.
I can't wait. Now I got my Easter sweet tarts on. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they have a 4th of July version. I can't wait for those. Oh, and then Blessed Halloween is right around the corner. Blessed Halloween. Somebody just had a wreck because I said that. Yeah. But anyway, sweet tarts all day long for this guy.
Yeah.
All day long.
You are a fan.
And my teeth are like crumbling away.
Before that was Valentine's Day, you had the sweet tarts.
Oh, man. Dawn's going to get mad when she uses.
Yeah.
She's like, your teeth, our bank account, what are you doing? It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make, Dawn.
Unfortunately for you, scientists at the University of Bristol did not have anything to say about sweet tart addiction. You can get over that one. Chocolate is a different matter.
It's apparently inconclusive.
Yeah.
We'll wait for more findings.
There you go. On the way, we got a culture shock from the Alabama Shakes, but first, one of my favorite new bands to the Static Airwaves. Johnny Swim, one word, and this was a listener suggestion from Jeff Gilbert, former drummer from Cutlass and Seven Places, and a good dude, friend of ours, who said, hey, you guys got to play these guys.
I know, you're probably like me, and you're like, wait a second, Cutlass did something right in this world.
Hey now.
But here's the thing. Jeff Gilbert's not in Cutlass anymore, and he gave us this thing. So we're both right.
All right. Let's do it.
Johnny Swim on Team Awesome Morning Party.
No.
Static.
The storm, it came from across the...
Let the broadcasting of the Disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Oh, Friday.
Friday.
You glorious day, you. Man, we have so many stories in front of us, we don't even know where to begin.
We don't.
There's about 27 minutes left to show.
Well, here's one little thing we'll mention.
Yeah.
Billboard and Twitter have partnered to create a Billboard Twitter real-time chart. So we're all used to... I grew up with, like, the top 20 Casey Kasem, top 40. You remember the top 40 for the week?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the Billboard...
Casey.
Yeah. That chart. And he would give, like... reflections and the story
this
behind the band.
This debuted in 1956. Yeah.
And he would throw it back to 10 years ago, the number one song. You know, solid.
Classic radio. Also the voice of Shaggy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Scooby-Doo. Yeah.
So anyway, Billboard and social media platform Twitter today announced an exclusive multi-year partnership to create Billboard Twitter real-time charts. The charts which will launch in the coming weeks will track U.S. music conversations among the millions of tweets sent each day. Combining the authority of the Billboard charts and Twitter's public real-time data, this powerful co-branded chart will reshape for consumers and the industry the way music success is measured. This is a big deal for bands. If you're in a band out there, this is interesting. Because now bands that will never make it onto the Billboard chart, you have a shot.
Yeah.
You have a shot now. If you're an indie band and you put something out on your band camp, if enough people talked about you on Twitter, you could be like in the top 10 on the Billboard chart.
It's going to be interesting to see.
This is a game changer.
It really is. Did we start that with Locals Rule and getting people involved and tweeting and stuff?
I think we've been doing this before.
Like Billboard owes us some cash.
Some cash.
Some cash, man.
Give us your cash, man.
Because we love rock and roll.
We love it. The Billboard brand is built on over 200 exclusive charts. Charts. The measure of success in music. They're constantly updated to reflect the changing music landscape. Billboard's charts, led by the world-recognized Hot 100 Songs chart and Billboard 200 Album chart, as well as its content, are consumed and referenced by millions of people around the globe.
That's interesting.
So this is going to be like real-time. It will also show exactly how long people stay relevant and popular in music, which now is like flash in the pan no matter who you are.
Well, what's funny is it used to be you were hot and popular in music because people bought your records. Now...
Not so much.
Not now. Does this help the artist? I guess it kind of does, mm-hmm. because they're talking about you, but that doesn't equal cash necessarily for you.
Not
because
necessarily.
They're talking about you on Twitter. So it's like, I'm on the Twitter Billboard charts because people are talking about me. How many people downloaded your record? Well, they probably torrented it.
A couple hundred.
You know, I got $63 out of SoundExchange.
Cool. Yeah,
so it was pretty
cool.
Great, you know. Yeah.
Sitting on top of the world, man.
Took the guys to a fancy dinner at K-Bob's.
Pretty great. Bought a new hubcap for my bike.
But we're on Billboard. Yeah. People are tweeting us.
On Billboard.
So it's like double-sided.
So the music industry has gone from like, yeah, dude, we just got a plane. So now it's like, man, we're doing really good. I paid my electric bill. Charted number one on Billboard. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
The moral of the story is, kids, Finish school.
Just finish it.
If you're going to be in a band, now more than ever, it's wise to have a good, solid backup plan.
That's right.
Super great.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm not trying to discourage your dreams or whatever, but I'm going to say a backup plan is a good idea.
Hey, we have a really good friend who is in a successful rock band.
Yes.
Final year for them.
Thanks, man.
No, dude.
Oh.
Getting ready to put out their last record, and he's like on the road working on his master's degree.
Oh, snap!
Talk about Stephen from Amberlin.
Colbert.
Oh. So you can do both, especially now in 2014. Mm-hmm. If you have a laptop,
it's way
you can take online courses, you can do those things, and that dude not only is on the road touring and working on a final record and doing all these things, he's working on a master's degree. So you can't, it's possible. You don't have to give up the dream of like, this is what I want to do. It's like the rock and roll lifestyle. It's cool, man. Apply yourself. Do something with it as well. Because you can do both.
You can do both. So, it's important to do both.
Yeah.
I don't know. Truth. I had a tough time. I tried doing online courses. And it was tough, man, because you have to focus on that stuff. Some people are way more
focused
than I am.
You're in a band with four other people who don't care.
They don't care at all, and funny stuff is going on around you constantly.
Yeah.
That was always my distraction. Anytime I was on the phone, anytime I was doing anything, I was trying not to miss the funny things that were always happening. It's like, huh, what do you what do you say? Hang on, Don. What? Oh, man, that's awesome. No, Coon just told a joke. I don't know what he said. It was funny, though. Oh, you got to go? Okay, I'm sorry. Bye.
I'll talk to you in 3 days.
Yeah, I'll talk to you. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was blessed to have a wife that totally understood.
Band life. Yeah, there you go. Oh, man. All right. We got to talk about this airport situation. What is happening in Los Angeles?
Let me tell you about it.
Okay.
And what officials believe is one of the biggest baggage theft operations in Los Angeles International Airport, or LAX, history. Authorities on Thursday said they suspect at least 14 baggage handlers of stealing thousands of dollars in electronics, jewelry, and other high-priced items. Seth's wife, Hannah, posted a list the other day. I don't know if it was a BuzzFeed list or something, but it was like so many secrets about airports that you probably didn't know, but you should. And one of the big things was you need to put a lock on your luggage. I've never, ever locked my luggage. If you're a baggage handler here in the ABQ area, look out for this guy because my stuff's always wide open. Now, is there anything in there that might interest you? Are you interested in Hanes underwear? Do you like band t-shirts? What about a pair of jeans that's really crappy because I never wash them? How about that? I don't know. But that thing said you need to put locks on your luggage because when you put that, when you give your luggage to the lady at the checkout counter, or at the check-in counter rather, and that thing gets on that conveyor belt, I can't remember how many people it said, but from there until it is on the plane and then until it is back in your hand when it lands, all of those people have unlimited access to any of your things.
I had a note one time when I traveled. Have you ever gotten the letter?
No.
That says that your belongings were like rummaged through?
That's happened in my pedal board.
Hey,
before.
Just so you know, we had to check this out. Nothing was taken. I was missing my iPhone charger. there was a couple things that...
Really?
That did not make it.
Man, I'm blessed because I've never had something go missing. It's usually my pedal board that gets checked though because I carry my guitar.
Right.
I am hard pressed to check my guitar, and if I do, I'm just praying the whole flight. That's when I'm the closest to the Lord, because I'm like, Lord, please, it's a guitar, right?
At LAX, these were actual baggage handlers that were rummaging through and stealing things?
Police allege that the thieves worked in tandem for at least several months, stealing from bags and other property in a secured area of the airport. Some of the items were then sold on Craigslist.
Wow.
Some of it's gone.
Right.
Detectives are still trying to tally the total losses and identify the victims. LAX police arrested 6 workers and detained an additional 8. They suspect stole thousands of dollars in small but pricey items from baggage moving through the airport. Because once your baggage, like under the airport, is a vast system of tunnels and mazes.
Likened
to that of the bottom of Disney World.
Okay.
Likened to the New York sewer system.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like in an airport. And they are like, no, no, no. Everywhere, baggage going everywhere. There's too much stuff going on for people to really like focus. So if you're the sneaky little baggage handler guy, you're like, zip, iPhone charger, zip back, it's in my pocket. And then you're handing it off to your buddy who's walking the opposite way, who just took a gold bar out of one baggage.
Why would you carry a gold bar when you're traveling?
Some people just want to keep the gold with them. I don't know who those people are, but they're out there.
They're out there.
In all, 25 search warrants of homes and lockers attached to individuals were searched Wednesday as LAX police concluded a several months long investigation into baggage thefts at Terminal 4 and Bradley International Terminal. The investigation remains ongoing with more arrests expected. So this was like a vast net. This is a criminal empire within the bowels of LAX.
Question, we've got like 5 minutes left. 505-338-3700. If you'd like to chime in, have you ever lost anything important? Luggage loss? Any crazy airport stories for you?
Me?
Yeah.
I've been super blessed.
Man. Because you travel quite a bit.
I do. I've never left any. Now, Dawn left her iPad case behind one time.
Oh.
And that was a bummer.
Just the case, though, not the
just
actual
the case.
iPad?
She, okay. She got the iPad. But, yeah, I've never lost anything on a flight.
The only thing that's ever been lost for me at an airport was time when I was stranded at DFW overnight. But I don't think other
time
than like
pride.
You know, other than like iPhone, my iPhone charger was taken once. Little things like that.
The only thing that I've ever lost was my sanity. Because if you're on that plane and you're sitting across from me and you pull some food out of your bag and you open that sandwich or that old meat, you open that crap up on the airplane, I'm immediately looking at you going, hey,
yeah,
there are other people.
Because then it's just filtered through their little air system and all of a sudden the entire cabin smells like salami. Like,
and you're just looking at the person going, no. And I was telling this to Dawn the other day and then Dawn was like, but that's me, because that's what she does.
No!
That's how we save money, though. She'll get something at breakfast and save it throughout the day, you know, and just eat a little bit of it. And then here I am complaining about it. I felt like a terrible husband and person. I was like, well, you just couldn't hold it, and you can't wait and eat it later.
There are a few experiences worse than, say, the food coming out, or maybe if there's like a toddler.
Babies.
Last night I got so nervous. We went to go see Noah. And the movie starts.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we hear the like, and we're like, shut up. Shut up. Somebody brought a 3-year-old to Noah.
Oh. Yeah.
I felt so bad for the kid because it was, for a grown up, it was kind of boring.
Some of that was intense.
Like, I just know that my kids would be bored out of their minds seeing that movie. So there's no way my kids are going to see that movie.
And the humanity scenes were, there were a
pretty
couple
brutal.
That were pretty, it's like, Noah.
Oh, right. God, like, drowned the world.
Ugh.
So and can then, we see another scene of floating dead children? Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Thanks,
pretty,
Aronofsky.
Pretty interesting.
It was intense.
It was surprising, too. And that's true. On an airplane, there's always the inevitable kid. But what I like to do, I like to just remember that's a kid, and they're in a small space, and of course they're going to go a little stir crazy. It's just a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm the guy always like smiling at them, going, hey.
Hey.
Like kind of picking with them, you know, and then
that's
they're
cool.
smiling back. And
that's
the
right
I'm like,
attitude.
The whole time I'm like, God, put that kid to sleep. Please. Please, God.
If put only Methuselah was here to just put Spock that, pinch him.
Meow. Rest.
True story, that happens. Yeah.
It would
good
be
job,
if
Anthony
I
Hopkins.
Had that power, I Man. Would bless every flight I was on with that power. I'd be like, oh, okay, hey, just let me, what a beautiful, you're welcome. You can buy me extra snacks if you'd like.
Oh, man. Well, sadly, we've come to the end of our journey for a week.
We have.
Another week in the books.
Another week in the books.
Now, you have a short week next week.
I do.
Steve-O and Mitch taking over there for a little bit because
Friday.
Where are you going?
I am going back to flying into Nashville. We have a show in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And then I'll be back on Sunday. I'll be back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then flying out Thursday. The next week also.
That's a hero's playing some shows, man.
Two whole shows. It's going to be exciting.
But you guys got new material.
Gonna play a couple
new
songs.
The new song
hoping
sounds
so.
Awesome.
That all hinges on me. You know how much responsibility I have in this band. So if I like, nah, I don't want to play those songs. I just don't learn them.
You have to learn these songs.
Don't tell Tim. Hey, wait. Did I just say that on the...
You can't say that on the radio.
Doug, you're supposed to stop me. Don't sit there. Okay.
You have so much power. It's like, hey, we're going to play these two new songs.
Oh,
but if you don't
are
learn...
we?
Gosh, you better learn those songs.
Things have been real hectic at the radio lately. I've had to stare at that computer screen for hours. There just wasn't time for this.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't wait till we can actually share some of that new House of Heroes
because
it's incredible.
And we don't even have the finals. We
have
we
don't.
The roughs.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to hear the final stuff.
Absolutely. If you missed any part of Team Awesome Morning Party, including our full-on review of Noah that happened in the 7 o'clock hour, you can download it, mystaticradio.com/mornings. That is it for us. Tails back in tomorrow to kick it with you on your Saturday.
Oh.
Until then, it's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static Radio.